God speaks to us through His Word. He spoke in times past by prophets, but now we have His Word. They didn't have that privilege, but we have the privilege. We, upon whom the ends of the world have come, have a Bible. And He has inspired the writers to set forth His Word upon us, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And He expects us to listen. Listen. You remember how Paul says, finally, brethren, or was it David in speaking to that 400 men? He said, now, my children, listen, hearken to me. Hearken to me. I'm going to teach you something. And that's what I have to do. I have to stretch out my ear and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And He'll say something to you. And so let us read by, I have some, it looks like paragraphs. I'd like to just read by paragraphs so we can ponder this psalm throughout. And the first ends with, let's see, what verse 7? With the 7th verse.
What psalm, Brother Gordon?
It's Psalm 132. I'm sorry I didn't mention that. Psalm 132. You know, I'm going to read it. You listen. Because if you read it, there are all kinds of versions, right? Translations. And I don't get it. But if I read it myself, I get it. Now, we're going to ask, how do you read? Or what is it that speaks to you? All right, let me see. I'm going to do this now. Lord, remember David. Yes, remember David. And all the Davids. But it's David. Remember David. And all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. It ends there. Now this speaks of David, these five verses. Does anyone have a comment, some word that you'd like to offer as regards these five verses? Remember David. What do you remember? What do you know about David? Well, it tells us here.
He wasn't putting his own comforts first, but he was putting his worship of the Lord first. And that he wanted to establish a place for God to dwell. I think he might have been referring to wanting to build a temple for the Lord. But he had that in his heart. He so loved God that he wanted to honor God by giving him a dwelling place, as it were, among men. A place that could be dedicated for the Lord to minister, for the Lord to inhabit, where his people could come and dwell and receive from God, bless him, where his people could come and worship the Lord.
First Chronicles, you can keep your Bible or your finger in where Psalm 132, but here in First Chronicles 29, we could read into this chapter a few verses. This is David. Now, who will stand up and read it so that we can all hear? I don't see too well. You just stand up and read it.
Which verse?
Pardon? Start at the beginning. And read it out loud.
Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God.
Go on.
Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house.
I think that most suffice. Because I have an affection. I have an affection for the house of God. I'm going to take it out of my own pocket. Silver, gold, wood, whatever. Whatever. He prepared for the building, the construction of this temple. And so it cost him something. But he, because he had a love for it, he gave. And this is expressed in the Psalm 132, right? Where he says, I will. All right, let's go on. We'll read two verses, 6 and 7. Now, this speaks of the ark. This was his great desire that this temple be built where the ark could reside. And I should tell you that this psalm was written by Solomon. It was written by Solomon. And it was first sung at the dedication of the temple, when the ark was brought into that holiest of holiest and placed there under the wings of the cherubim. And so now it speaks here of the ark. In a very concise way. Let's see what these verses tell us. Lo, we heard of it in what is that? I can't see that too well. What is that word? Yeah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Gives a little account of the ark. You know, Eli, in the days of Eli, the Philistines were an enemy and always came up to fight against Israel. And so the battle was set in order. And the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they thought to bring the ark to the battlefront. Here, the symbol of God. And so they did. And everyone shouted because the ark had come, this symbol of God's presence. But the Philistines heard and they said, "What is that noise?" They had departed from the Lord. And now they thought by bringing this symbol, they should have first made themselves right. And then God's protection would have been there. But they were in a sinful, backslidden state. That's not a place of safety. And so the ark was taken to a number of cities owned by the Philistines. And you know how after a while they wanted to send it back because of the divine power that was present and caused them all kinds of trouble. And so the ark came first to Beth Shemesh and then to, I guess it was the house of Obed-Edom. Well, anyway, it finally found its place in Solomon's time in this temple. And notice this. Is there any comment? Anyone have a comment on that? These verses. What was Solomon's heart's desire? What does he say here? "We will worship." We brought now this presence of God into the temple, and now we have a place where we can come and worship. Worship. God seeks worship. And here they had this opportunity now because of the presence of God. And he says, "We will worship." All right, now, maybe I should let you people read, and let's go on through right to the end. All right, together. You want to lead this, honey? Come, this reading.
All right, we begin at verse 9. Let's read it together. Whatever translation you have, you can read it. We'll just all read it in unison. All right, whatever. Ready? "Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore." Well, let's just stop there. What is he promising David? What is he promising David in 11 and 12? What is he promising him? He's promising King David something. What is it? After you die, what's going to happen? What? Your children are going to sit upon the throne. The fruit of thy body means his children. But, that's a promise, but there's an if. If. If what? If your children will keep my covenant and my testimonies that I will teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. Is that a promise? But what comes with a promise? If. You're going to find that throughout the Bible. God makes promises to us, and then he says, if you do that. Do your parents do that to you? I will give you something if you do something. Is that what you do with your children, David?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they do it. If you do such and such, I promise you that I will come across with something. And God is the same way. Many of his promises, they are conditional. If you do so and so, then I promise to do so much for you. We have to remember that. Now let's go on. But did they? Did David's children's children continue to be kings? Yes or no? Let me hear.
No.
He had King Solomon. That was the first son that was on the throne. What happened after Solomon to the throne? Was Solomon a good king? At the beginning?
Yes.
At the end?
No.
No. And so what happened to his kingdom? Was it split? And it was taken out of David's family. How sad, right? How sad. He said, I'm going to teach them, but if they don't do it, then it's going to be removed from them. All right, let's go on. 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion together. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. 15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe them with priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. And I'd like to bring your attention to the verse 9 and verse 16. What phrase is repeated? Verse 9 and verse 16. What phrase is repeated?
Praise.
Hmm? I don't know if it's in your revised versions, but my Bible says, your priests or your ministers will be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints, what?
Shout
for joy. And what does it say in the 16th? I will clothe her priests or her ministers with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Have you ever shouted aloud for joy?
Yes.
What, at a ball game? Some of you can hardly be heard when you talk. Right? But if I was at a ball game with you, the Yankees or the Dodgers or whichever you favor, and your team is winning, would I hear your voice?
Yes.
Yes or no, fellas?
Yes.
Oh, you'd get up and you'd shout, well, we are winning. And what a loud voice you seem to have at a ball game. True? But in a meeting, do we shout for joy? And not only shout, this one says shout aloud for joy. Okay? Now I wanted to speak to you this morning on something. The other day we made a list of H's, words that begin with H. Do you remember them? We got about 13 words that began with H. And the first one was what? Say it.
Happy.
Happy. Now, is there a difference between being happy and being filled with joy?
Yes.
They're going to shout aloud for joy. What's the difference between being happy and joyful? Is there a difference? I'm happy? Why are you happy? Usually, what makes you happy?
Circumstances.
What makes you happy?
Circumstances.
circumstances. Things that happen make you happy. Write that down. Things that happen make you happy. If I give you a gift, does that make you happy?
Yes.
Yeah. And if I don't give you a gift, you are unhappy. So sometimes our happiness depends on things that happen to us. You see the connection?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And what's joy? What's the difference between happiness and joy? Does joy depend on what happens to us?
No.
No. If you want joy, real joy, real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Real joy comes from where?
Jesus.
Above. And it does not depend on happenings. That's the difference, all right? I want you to write on your books, J-O-Y, in a straight line down. J, underneath J-O-Y. These people shouted for joy. They shouted aloud for joy when they came to the house of the Lord. Now, you want real joy? Next to J, put Jesus. Jesus. You'll never find real joy in your life until you find Jesus. Is that true?
Yes.
It's true. Sinners don't have joy. They don't know God. So the first one for J is Jesus gives joy. He gives us joy as we put it down, read his word. He gives us joy as we pray. He gives us joy as we attend church. How many of you go to church? You go to church? Someplace? Do you enjoy going to church? Or do you say, I have to get up Sunday morning and I have to go to church because that's the right thing for me to do. And if I don't go to church, people are going to say, oh, she's backslidden. You enjoy going to church?
Yes.
You know, we shouldn't say, I'm going to church. I tell my people this. Don't say, I'm going to church. Who is the church?
We are.
We are. C-H. You are. C-H. What's in between the two C-H's?
You are.
You are. So who's the church?
We are.
You are. Do you get that? So you don't say, I'm going to church. That's wrong. I'm going to the building or the place where the church meets. Am I right?
Yes.
I'm going to the building or the place or the lodge where the church, us, meets. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. All right? And so we're in his presence and we are full of joy. So Jesus brings us joy as we read, as we pray, as we study, as we do our homework. There's no joy in doing homework, is there? No, but there is. There really is if you do your homework. I mean this kind of homework, not school. Okay, oh, what are we going to put for others? Oh, I told you. Put down others. Put down others. If you want real joy, after you are serving Jesus, you serve who?
Others.
That, does that bring joy to you? Really?
Yes.
When you serve others?
Yes.
I'm going to talk to the girls right now, all right? Excuse me for a minute, okay? Girls, you serve food, right? To the children and to the adults. Do you think if I went into the boys' dining room and I said to them, is your waitress a joyful lady? Does she bring joy as she serves you? And if I ask the adults, does the waitresses in our dining room bring joy to us? Do they serve us joyfully? Or do they look grumpy? What kind of an answer would I get, girls? You know, you've been impressing those children by the way you look. Do you ever smile at them when you serve them? We just use the food, you know. You may come in fast. Yeah. You are impressing those children of what a Christian should be. You are influencing them. A Christian should be joyful. They ought to serve each other joyfully. Men, do you hear the men singing along as they work? You know, there was one time when we had a group of men here. As they served on the grounds, you heard singing. You heard singing. Do any of your men sing, Tom, on the job?
They will today.
Or do they complain? Oh, my back hurts. Oh, we got to do this. Oh. Oh, I see you're guilty, huh? You're guilty. But you only got one more day. Only one more day, and it'll be all over. One more day. So I'm going to hear singing. I'm going to hear singing. And the waitress is going to smile, especially when you come to my table. You know, would you like a cup of coffee or would you like a hot water? I'll be glad to get it for you. Is there anything I could do for you? Please let me know. I'm just full of joy serving you. I haven't seen too much of that, girls. But you got a chance. You got one more day. Okay? You get what I'm trying to say? If you want joy, you got to serve others joyfully. With a whole heart, you know? Why did you come to camp? Why did you come? If you can't do everything joyfully, then you should have stayed home. How does your mother serve you? Joyfully? Oh, no? No? Oh. You know, we have to learn to serve others. Serve others. You will get joy. You will. And do it joyfully. All right? So you got that down? Others? We're going to serve them at camp and at home? All right? Why?
Yourself.
What?
Yourself.
Yourself. Where is yourself? At the last one?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Me. I want to get happiness. I want to get joy in serving myself and my interests. So we go backwards. Ourselves, others, and Jesus is last.
Mm.
Is that the way it goes? No. Jesus first. Others second. Myself last. And you're going to find out that will work. That will give you joy. Are you ready to try that?
Yes.
You want real joy? And you know, joy is a spiritual fruit of the Spirit. We heard the other night that Brother Gardner told us to pray that we would receive the fruits of the Spirit. And joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering. So where does this actually come from? Where do we get this joy? Do we work it up? Where do we get it from? God's Spirit. We don't have it naturally. We're complainers naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We're complainers. Mm-hmm. But only God can create joy in our spirits, all right? So, take out your books. You were supposed to look up things that are heavenly, right? Not to be earthly minded, but you're supposed to be heavenly minded. And we went through a whole list of things that we experience here on this earth that we need, but we're not to be dominated by them. Is that what we learned? That's not to be the main goal in life. And you got that whole list. Then I asked you to find out, what are we supposed to think of heavenly? What are the heavenly things we're supposed to be minded about? Did you find anything? Can you think of anything? And you will be shouting aloud for joy. How do you become heavenly minded? What are you thinking about?
We can meditate on God's word.
I can't hear you.
We can meditate on God's word.
She said.
We can meditate on God's word.
Oh. Is that being heavenly minded?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you read your Bible? How often do you read your Bible? Now be honest. Don't answer me. How often do you read your Bible? How often do you think about Jesus every day? Or is it just on Sunday when we go and meet with the church? Do you read something every day? The man on that tape, what did he tell you? How much time should you give? An hour? I wouldn't tell you that. Because I knew you wouldn't do it. Mm-mm. True? How many people spend an hour? A whole hour just in reading and praying? You know what I would suggest? 15 minutes. Could you do that? Is that a long time? Start with a low number, all right? I'm going to 15 minutes. I'm going to read something from the scripture, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go about my business or go to school. 15 minutes. I wouldn't suggest you do it at night before you go to bed. Why? You'd fall asleep. You're going to fall asleep. You're too tired. You need the word of God when? The beginning of the day. Get your hearing in tune with God, all right? Start with 15 minutes. And then you'll increase it maybe later on. So if you want to be heavenly minded, you have to read your Bible. You have to pray. You have to. Because you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to make it. All right? You got that down? But the second thing, what else can you do to be heavenly minded? Instead of thinking of yourself, what are you going to do now? Sometime during the day, sometime during the week, how can I show people that I am heavenly minded? Yes, Tom.
Help others in need or with their
yes,
needs.
Yes, put that down. You're going to help somebody else. Help them. Just be helpful. Be a helper. And in your church, when you attend church on Sunday, what could you do to be a helper to anybody in the church? What could you do? Could you volunteer to do what? What?
Clean the church.
Teach what?
Sunday school.
Teach the children in Sunday school?
Yeah.
Does that show that you're heavenly minded? Yes, you want other children to come along and find Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you can teach a Sunday school? And what else happens in the summertime?
VBS.
What?
VBS.
What's VBS? What's VBS, adults? VBS.
Vacation Bible School.
Vacation Bible School. Monday when we get home,
mm-hmm.
We begin a week of Vacation Bible School in our assembly. A week before the children go to school, every night we're going to have Vacation Bible School. Is that a good idea?
Yes.
And you know what we give them as a reward at the end? Yes. It's the week before school.
Books and pencils.
Books and pencils, yes. We give them notebooks, we give them pencils, erasers, sharpeners, oh, you name it. Anything for school. We send them off with a supply. All right? So you could volunteer for that. Will that bring you joy?
Yes.
Definitely will. All right? Something else. What are you thinking about besides your earthly things? Did you ever hear of a missionary?
Mm-hmm.
What's a missionary? What's a missionary? Who is a missionary? What do they do? Where do they go? Missionary. What's a missionary?
Someone
you don't know?
Someone who tells others the gospel.
Someone who tells others the gospel? Okay. But where do they usually go? They go to foreign countries. Our church supports missionaries. Every month we send offerings to missionaries who have gone to China, India, Africa, the islands of the sea. And we have a big bulletin board in the lower auditorium as you come in. And all the pictures of the missionaries that we support are around that board. And every month as the letters come in from the missionaries giving us reports, those letters go up on the board. Right, Gladys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every month those letters come down and other letters go up which we receive from missionaries. You can be interested in missions by doing what?
Giving.
Praying.
If you're heavenly minded, you are thinking of missionaries and how you can support them. How do you support a missionary?
Money and prayer.
You give money? Have you ever heard of tithing? Did your church ever tell you about tithing? Your pastor? You know what tithing is?
Giving a tenth of your income.
We're supposed to bring our tithe to the church of God every week. What is a tithe?
10% of what you earn.
Say it loud.
10% of what you earn.
10% of what you earn. Whatever you earn, you give 10%. If you have a $50 job, how much belongs to God?
$5.
How much do you have left?
$45.
Is that fair enough? Then when you make $100 a week, how much does God get?
$10.
And when you make $500 a week?
$50.
Oh, now it's getting bigger, huh? The more you make, what? The more you give. How else is God's work going to prosper? How is the pastor going to pay the electric bills, the gas bills, the insurance? You know, these are expenses in the church. And if we are heavenly minded, we will contribute to the well-being of the church, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you tithe?
Yes.
Oh, you don't? Did somebody say no? Okay, you're going to start tithing. And I would suggest, you young people, the first job that you get, the first paycheck that you give 10% to God in the offerings, all right?
Amen.
I had a son, another son besides Philip. He's now in heaven. When he was a boy, he used to deliver newspapers. Anybody ever deliver newspapers? Yeah. And you have to get up early in the morning, go and pick up all the newspapers, and then distribute them to all the houses that are signed up to receive a newspaper. He received about maybe $15, you know, it tips, etc. About $15 a week. You know what he would do? He took a little white envelope, and he put $1.50 in that envelope. That was his tithe? Yes?
Yes.
$15? $1.50. And when he got $20 in that little envelope, you know what he did with it? He brought it to me and he said, Mom, send this to Miss Van Kirken, who was a missionary in South Africa. And every time we had this $20, this money went to Miss Van Kirken, his favorite missionary in South Africa. Do you think that was good?
Yes.
He started early with a small salary. And as the salary increases, and you won't miss it, and God will stretch that 90% that you keep. This is being heavenly minded. You are investing your money in the work of God. Do you follow me? Am I making sense? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. This shows that you are heavenly minded when you're interested in God's work here on earth. All right? Something else. I'm sorry, Dave, who sits here usually? What's his name?
Jason.
Jason?
Yes.
He showed me a list the other day. He took out his book. I think it was last night, his blue book. And he showed me a list. He had about 10 things that he was heavenly minded about, or he wants to be. All right? So maybe tonight I'll get him to read it to you. All right? Do you have your list? Or you didn't do it? You didn't do it? You didn't do it? Did you do it? Did you make out a list to show that you are heavenly minded? What ought you to pray about? Do you have the H's? You have all those H's that you're supposed to be? This afternoon we are having a prayer meeting. And I want you to bring your list with you, or else look at your list and say, one of these things on this list I have to pray about, because I'm not this. You have, I am honest, I am humble, I am hopeful. What else you have?
Hospitable.
You go down that list of H's, all right? And examine yourself. Say, Jesus, am I humble? If not today, in prayer meeting, I'm going to pray that you make me humble. Will you do that?
Amen.
Find out one of the H's that you need work on. And you say, come, Jesus, I need help to be honest. I need help to be humble. Any one of those H's. All right, so that's what you'll do this afternoon. When you come, you won't forget. All right, and I have one more thing. I want you to turn to page 444. The song is Jesus is the Joy of Living. Who's the joy of living? Jesus. That's why you're having such a wonderful time here at camp, and all of you are going to be more joyful. You're going to serve the Lord with joy. 444. Do you know this song? Or is it not familiar with you? Jesus is the joy of living. Now I want you to stand up and we're going to sing it with enthusiasm. You know what that is? Enthusiasm? Let's stand. And if we do well enough, you do well enough now, in this song, I'm going to ask you to sing it tonight, because my son is going to be here tonight, and he's going to say, what did you hear this morning? And what are you going to say the subject was? What did...
Joy.
What?
Joy.
And we're going to sing you a song, Brother Philip, to show how joyful we are. Now, I like enthusiastic people. I don't like these people who are half and half and droopy and dreary and droppy, whatever. I like you to be enthused. I want you to be joyful. I want you to sing the truth. And what's the title of it? Jesus is the joy of living. And it won't hurt if you smile a little bit, okay, when you sing it. There's no grumpiness here. When you're singing and you're full of joy, you smile once in a while. Like when we sing, I am happy in the service of the King. You know how you look sometimes? I am happy in the service of the King. That's bad. I am happy, oh so happy. And you gotta, Now excuse me for talking like this. I'm not scolding you, all right? I appreciate all that you've done, whether you've done it joyfully or half joyfully, but from today on, every meal, and when I see you fellas, I'm gonna hear some sort of a tune coming out of your mouth, okay? Not foolishness, joy. All right, Tessie, play it through. Play it all the way through. Do what he commands me. Anywhere he leads, I'll go. Jesus is the joy of the... I have to go all the way up. He's the dearest friend I know. Ready? I have found a wondrous Savior, Jesus Christ, the soul divine. Every blessing of His favor fills my heart with long delight. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of glory to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me, anywhere He leads I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the dearest friend I know.
Second,
life is filled with rich with beauty. Toil has lost its weary strain. Now a halo crowns each duty, and I sing a glad refrain.
Sing it!
Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving. His forever.
Boys, young men, second verse. Life is growing, we sang it, rich with beauty. Toil, that means work, has lost its weary strain. Oh, no more strain, okay? Why? Now a halo crowns each duty, and I sing a glad refrain. Okay, fellas? Okay?
Yeah.
You can sing like a crow?
No.
That's okay. Now, third verse. Ready. Heavenly One
provides me grace to keep my spirit free. In His own sweet way He guides me when the path I cannot see. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me, anywhere He bids me go. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the dearest friend I know.
Fourth,
oh, what glory, oh, what matchless power divine, is the Christ of God's full story, Christ the Savior who is mine.
Now sing it!
Jesus is the joy of living, He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forever.
You can sing that tonight for Brother Philip?
Yes. Yes.
With enthusiasm?
Yes.
Okay? Okay. I'm sorry we went over time. Please forgive me.
No, don't. We had occasion to travel to the Holy Land. And you could stand on the Mount of Olives and you could look down over the city. And what do you see? But a mosque. And I said, that shouldn't be there. There's no more temple. There's no more temple. But I think it teaches us a lesson. We are the temple. He's looking for temples. He's looking for you. me to make him a habitation. We read that, right? Let Jesus come into your heart. He is within you if you've opened to him. You can affirm that. You ought to do it every day. Jesus, you are in me. And you will enable me to fulfill in your will. Well, praise the Lord. Have a good day today in his presence. And serve the Lord with gladness. That's in Psalm 100. Thank you. God bless you.